step into the glow of the season with Moonlight and Magic, our very first quarterly solstice gathering, a celebration of community, intuition, and enchantment.
Join us at Mimosas on June 13th for an unforgettable evening. Explore a curated marketplace of local mystical vendors, receive guidance from gifted intuitive readers, and experience magical performances that honor the power and mystery of the solstice.
This event is proudly sponsored by Taylor Pickett Styles, Tidal Wave Healing, and Moonbees Wellness. Three magical forces dedicated to beauty, healing, and holistic well-being.
Whether you're a seasoned witch, curious seeker, enjoy local events, or simply drawn to the magic of the moment, this is your invitation to gather, connect, and celebrate the turning of the wheel. For more information on this event, please visit Waking Up the Witch at Instagram, or you can find our event on Facebook, Moonlight and Magic, a Midsummer Soiree.
See you there.
See you there. Taylor.
And I'm Amber.
And this is
Waking Up the Witch. We're your neighborhood witches. Each week, we talk about all things witchy and connect with other humans in a storytelling format about navigating life on this floating rock.
We're two curious ladies trying to understand the human experience. But while we do that, we think it's important to honor the people that lived here before us and honor the cultures and traditions that we're being inspired by.
This podcast is about waking up the witch, which means we are learning and growing every day. That being said, we are always open to feedback on how we can do better.
The views and opinions of our guests don't necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Waking Up the Witch. Now, let's go, ghouls! Hey, Amber.
Hi, Taylor.
How's it going?
So good. How are you?
So good. What an incredible interview.
Ooh, I have chills. Like,
whew. Such a great way to kick off the season.
Oh, my God. I am, like, so excited that speechless. Such a fun conversation and a fun hangout with a really amazing woman. I'm so grateful that we live in the age of the internet and social media that we do. Because
connecting.
We just get to connect with people all over the place. And that is pretty fucking amazing. I highly recommend, like, if there's someone that you admire or you like what they're doing, like, just DM them.
And then tell us and we'll DM them too.
Yeah. We are kind of amazing.
Open to any guest ideas too. I think we're kind of going with the flow this season a little bit more. I think we have a history of packing them in and I'm kind of just like, who wants
it? It's
flowing.
It feels so good to be here recording again. Like, it's been so long. And we're like still getting back in our flow and figuring it out. And like, I remember that this podcast really lights me up and puts this like incredible fire in my heart. But it's the longest we've gone without recording with a guest. And holy shit, it just is so energizing.
I think for me, I'm finally kind of feeling a little back to normal. And I think for two seasons I was, you know, pregnant and postpartum, which women just be doing that all the time and acting like it's no big deal. But for me, big deal all around.
Yeah.
The whole time, every part of it. So I'm here and I'm present and I'm ready to grow and learn and do some cool shit.
Yeah. I'm excited for everything that's to come. And so excited about this conversation we just had.
Yeah, me too.
With Alyssa. This blends two of our favorite things, astrology, actually three, really, the surprise bonus third thing, but astrology and Bravo reality TV, housewife energy, and a little bit of fashion. Oh my God.
Yeah. And it's definitely a lot of like, girl and getting like we got excited, so get ready for lots of cackling and maybe talking over each other, and we were just having so much fun.
We were like,
I feel like
we'll do this in an hour, and we were with her for 2 hours.
If you ever wonder what it's like to be out at wine with us,
this is the vibe. 100%.
I hope you enjoy.
Yeah, this is for you too, even if you don't watch Bravo. I just want to say that. If you're not a Bravo girly and you're not in the Bravo universe with us.
She's very wise.
She is amazing still. Yeah. So I hope that you still listen and maybe you'll be inspired to join our side of the television world.
Other cult that we're in.
Yes.
All right.
Enjoy.
I am going to invite everybody to close their eyes for a moment. If you can, if you're driving, don't do that. And we're going to take three grounding breaths. So we'll breathe in and out. And the second breath in, I want you to just kind of come into your body. Breathe in and out. And the third breath is going to be the deepest breath you've taken all day. We're going to breathe in big. Fill up your belly. And out. We just ask that our guides are here with us today to support us in this journey. And that everything flows with openness and truth and honesty and love.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is.
And so it is.
It is.
Okay. Love that.
So we would love to welcome our guest today. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Alyssa. I guess Alyssa Polinsky, if you want my full name.
Hey, Alyssa.
Hi.
Oh my God. We're so excited to be talking to you today. Thank you.
Alyssa blends two of our favorite things together, which is astrology and Bravo.
Yes.
Her Instagram is Alyssa Stars.
Stars X Alyssa.
Amazing meme account.
So
iconic
great.
Content. We love it all. We're gonna go in and talk to her about her life story like we usually do, and then we'll kind of hop into kikiing and Bravo and spilling tea and all the really good stuff.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, please. Start from the beginning.
It was a cold and snowy. No, just joking.
Yeah.
Love it.
So beginning, I guess I grew up in Denver, Colorado.
Oh, okay. Amber's from Denver.
Yeah. Yeah, I grew up all around Denver. So I lived in like Southwest Denver for like elementary school. We moved down to like Douglas County area for high school. And then when we left, I was living in Aurora. So then I got accepted to FIT. So I moved to New York in 99 to go to Fashion Institute of Technology for textile design.
Love.
Which I've been doing textile design now. That's what I went from college for, and I've been in a facet within that fashion area of that since then. So, you know, I'm going on almost like 25 years, I guess, of working in the industry. Yeah. That's
so awesome.
Which is insane. So, you know, that's a big part, but, you know, where my astrology and all my witchiness comes from is my mom growing up. She had a really good friend. Her name was Bobby the Witch.
Amazing.
And she like did like a hand chart for her, and they would like do rituals and they would pull tarot, and I was just like deeply obsessed with it.
Yeah.
So then my mom had her own tarot deck and she's like, you can't touch my tarot deck. I was like, it was like real, like hardcore on the rules.
Yeah.
And so I was like really into that, like high school, like she got me like all the different, like the birthday book and the relationship book, like those big old hardback books
that were like
encyclopedias. So loved all of that growing up. And then when I moved out here to New York to go to college, I kind of fell out of all of that stuff because, you know, working full time, going to school full time, like just totally like lost that whole like witchy side of my life. And then about, let's see here, I guess it's 8 years ago now. I had been working full time at Macy's as a designer for almost 10 years. And it just kind of hit a breaking point there of working in corporate design culture, which was filled with all sorts of toxicity.
Yeah. What is that like?
It's a lot, you know, it's hard because it is all for the most part. Like, I mean, I only worked with women, you know, girls, whatever, full age range.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, everyone's got their different opinions. Everyone's, you know, it's very corporate on top of it with a lot of feelings and emotions and needs for, you know, advancement and like pitting people against each other. Like it was just a very like pressure cooker, but not like for a long time it was great. And then when it was bad, it got really, really bad.
Yeah.
So
also the times were different too. Like I'm sure, I hope things have gotten better, but all corporate places were a bit more toxic, I would say.
Very much in the masculine energy too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It was just, it was a lot. So I ended up quitting that job and I was just like, didn't have another job lined up. I was like, screw this. Ironically, I got hired as a freelancer back within the Macy's Corporation.
Amazing. Wow.
For a different brand that I was friends with the design director and the VP and stuff. So they knew what my skill set and what, you know, my design work was. So they're like, well, we need you to do this. So I ended up actually working there for like another 6 months after I quit and then had a couple months off. And then I got hired at the job I'm at now. But the job that I work at now is the complete opposite of what I was working at Macy's, where I was filled with so many people and so much time. The job that I have now is, I work for a global manufacturer, but it's headquartered out of India. So most of the teams don't sit within there's only a few people in the New York office, design wise.
Mm-hmm.
So I would sit there alone all day long. And so as I was going through this, like, kind of needing to like rebuild and reheal myself from coming off of that. Also, I just had a kid. So I was postpartum. Mm-hmm. My child was just around a year at this point.
Yeah.
It was just a lot mentally. And so I started getting into podcasts.
When was this? Like
this
what
was,
year?
This was 2017.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So 2017 is when I quit Macy's, got this new job, and my son was a year old. So then started getting into podcasts, found some that I really liked. You know, That's So Retrograde was like my favorite. I always listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Elizabeth. They would always have just different guests on who were astrologists or, you know, different types of practitioners in different forms. So I really got into the astrology again, listening to astrologists, and that kind of just like opened up the bucket of this like part of me that I hadn't been exploring for, you know, quite a long time. So then I was like, all right, let's do this. Like I started deep diving into astrology, and then I like started taking a bunch of classes, got readings, like signed up for anything that I could, started studying all the time. And then the pandemic happened.
Oh yeah.
And I was left with a lot of time to study.
Yeah.
So that's what I did during the pandemic. And then that's when I started my Instagram account, because my other favorite thing is
Bravo. What else are we doing during the pandemic?
It was like, you know, the summer of the pandemic. And I was like, what the heck am I going to do with my life right now? So
you can say fuck here. Okay,
great.
I like be totally free.
Were you into Bravo before the pandemic?
Yes, I've been into reality. I'm like a TV holic.
Okay.
It is my like, I think, you know, when you're...
It's a safe space for me, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. I love TV.
Yeah, I'm... When you're a very sensitive and emotional person, I think it's a really good escape.
We get to experience the outside world from our living rooms.
Because, I'm one of those people who's very outgoing at some points, but then I'm very also...
You need to recharge.
Yeah, and so I really can fall into, like, very, like, long... couch sessions of television. Yes. And that's like how I like to really like give myself time to relax. So I've always been into ETV. Like as a kid, I was like watching every soap opera ever known to man.
Amazing.
I probably watched like 9 or 10 soap operas as like from elementary school up through high school. Like it was ridiculous.
So you probably watched all Grey's Anatomy, right?
I watched up until I think season 10 or so.
Okay. That's my like comfort show.
Mine's Gossip Girl.
Love it. Yeah, that's amazing. A great one.
We love it.
No, Blair is my
guilty pleasure.
Yeah, Blair is my alter ego.
Iconic.
So then like 2000s reality TV television was really like where I got back into like the reality TV, like watching like Rock of Love and
Jersey Shore.
Yeah, all of those things that were
Jersey
on
Jersey Shore is so good though.
I still love Jersey Shore.
So good.
Yes.
I'm a huge Jersey Shore fan.
Yeah. Bad Girls Club was mine. I watched that religiously all through high school.
I know that one.
They just put a bunch of mean ass girls in a house and they fight each other. And I was like, oh, I could go on.
They're like, I relate to this.
I had a troubled teenage time.
No, we all do. And we all have placements that lean towards that.
Right.
Exactly.
So then eventually I got into like Project Runway, Top Chef, which is where started Bravo. And then, you know, once you're in the Bravoverse, you just kind of start
taking
on
other TV.
All of them.
Yeah.
So I started like season one of both Top Chef and Project Runway. Project Runway obviously was like really like huge for me because it was, you know, seeing kind of my culture, what I was doing on television. And growing up for me, I wanted up until the end of high school, I actually wanted to be a chef growing up.
Oh,
okay. So I also was like really in love with Top Chef too, because that is like, you know,
it's so good.
I was just, I love to watch it. If I would have known in 1998 that there was such thing as being a pastry chef, I think my life would be very different.
Totally.
I think that's like my like alter life that doesn't exist was in me being a pastry chef in Colorado.
On another timeline.
In a different timeline, in a different world. That is my other like path that I chose.
In Vail somewhere.
You know, just baking in the mountains and high altitude.
Mm-hmm.
So cute.
Yes. So picked up all the Bravo shows, got into the Housewives. I started more on, I think, Beverly Hills.
Same.
And then Beverly Hills, New York, backtracked into like OC, Atlanta, and now I'm just, you know, there's not one I don't watch.
So Taylor found Bravo and then kept telling me, girl, you gotta watch it. You gotta watch
friends into it.
And I loved like, I mean, you know, Real World and stuff growing up.
Yeah.
And like that was, child of the 90s, latchkey. And then I was like, I don't know if I'm really a reality. Like, I always kind of fought it. Like, I can't be the reality girl,
judgment around it. People are like, oh, it melts your brain, or it's like bad for you.
I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
And Jersey Shore was like, okay, we're all into Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
And then I had a friend who was like, you got to watch The Bachelor. And that was kind of my gateway.
Bachelor's
was like getting it. And now I don't even fucking care about The Bachelor.
Same.
Like,
Bachelor's
because now
terrible.
There's Bravo. And and I think that's how Taylor and I got to talking about Bravo. And she was pregnant and Did you find it before? I can't remember.
Well, my first was Salt Lake City, actually. Yeah.
Oh, really? And that's a good one to start at.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people that don't watch Housewives still watch Salt Lake City because it's insane.
It's throwing in the religious aspect. Like,
it's a good way to nudge people into, I think, not judging the Housewives as much.
Yeah. And Taylor kept pressuring me. And she's like, you got to watch it. And I was like, okay, you know, I don't really have time. And then at one point, I finally fucking did. And I was like, there's literally no other TV now except this.
Also, your best friend's fault, because he kept seeing memes of Vanderpump Rules. And he was like, we have to watch this together. And I was like, I'll do it if you do it. And we watched them like each season together. And then we would talk about it.
Yeah. So I'm curious, because like, we're kind of more newbies in the past few years of finding Bravo. And it sounds like you've been watching Bravo for quite a long time. So we of course now are going through each of the franchises.
Yes.
And it's 14 seasons to catch up on. So we call it like, it's the homework seasons.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it doesn't land anymore. You know, it's kind of hard to get through a little bit, and then like the character development takes a little bit, because it was like early Bravo too. Yeah. They didn't really have it figured out. So like, when you're discovering Bravo and Real Housewives, but I'm curious, like, was there a lot of homework Bravo for you when you found Bravo, or was it still like in the infancy of a lot of these shows?
Well, a lot of the shows, they were a few seasons in. I think I started maybe around season 3 of Beverly Hills.
Wow. Amazing.
But like, a lot of times you couldn't catch up unless you like found like a whole, like you're doing a marathon. Like totally. That was the way you used to have to do it, because there wasn't Peacock. All the episodes available. But from Beverly Hills in New York, like where I started those pretty early seasons, and then I had to backtrack into Atlanta and to OC, but I kind of started them all around that time frame.
Amazing.
And then like, I know, like, for me, my favorites are Vanderpump Rules and Summer House. Those are my
Summer House is so good, and I'm really trying to get Amber on it.
I'll get there. I'm working on Roni right now.
You have to watch my episode of Summer
House. What? You have an episode of Summer House?
Yes, I was on last season, season 8, episode 12.
Everything. Stop.
All right.
Well, yeah, one of our questions was like, have you met any of the Bravo celebrities out in the world? You are now a Bravo celebrity. Amazing.
I'm not. I'm a full sideways adjunct. But
are you a friend?
Wait, were you at the party? Tell us more.
Which one?
Were you the tarot girl?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I had no idea. Amazing.
Yeah.
I remember that. They were all a little weird about. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that
They're me. Like, we just have this weird girl here. I don't know.
I love it. It was fun though.
I saw that.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Summer House, it's on my docket. I've started Roni this year. I'm on season 4. So I feel like I just need to get through a little bit of Roni.
It's so good.
Vanderpump Rules, I like always want to keep watching that. I will rewatch that one forever, probably.
Vanderpump Rules is
there's like, nothing like it.
There's nothing better than that, and there's nothing better than when you're like around somebody who gets to watch it for the first time. It's 100%. Like a drug. Like my best friend, she just started, like, her and her partner, they just started watching Vanderpump, and so amazing. I get like updates from her about like where she is, and I'm like, oh god, you get to relive it.
You get to live it
for the first time, because it's just like, you know, like I was watching that Beverly Hills episode that led from Beverly
like
Hills into the Vanderpump Rules, because then like all through college I worked at a restaurant in Midtown in New York, so like
it's another like part of your world.
Restaurant culture is like a very big part of it. Was totally. A very big part of my life, especially in my 20s, my early 20s. Yeah, so just like really relatable to that spot in my life. Totally. Too. So yeah,
Just yeah, that was the attraction to Vanderpump Rules for me, too. I think a lot of us have worked in the service industry. And I mean, it's nothing quite like that scene, but
I don't know.
It is its own.
Mine was messy.
Yeah.
Mine was a little messy, but not quite like that.
It wasn't as incestuous, but I mean, people were fucking. Everybody's doing drugs.
Yeah.
The drinking is excessive.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had a question. Shit. Oh, you're obviously Team Paige, right?
I'm not Team anyone.
No? I don't know. Craig gives me the ick. That's all.
Craig, in rooting for women, I will be like Team Paige. Craig does give me like he doesn't seem very truthful to me. And I think a lot happening on both sides. And
yeah.
Also,
if he's problematic, like you did date this weird guy for, 3 years. What does that say about you, kind of?
Yeah. So
don't worry. Nobody important will probably listen to this podcast.
We all have our favorites. I live in a.
Totally.
I'm a Lindsay Hubbard, Danielle.
Oh, interesting.
Those are my favorites by far.
Lindsay so herself. And I love that so much. She's
her placements, like she's an Aries rising, a Leo sun, and
that is very
a Scorpio
obvious.
Moon.
Whoa. Like, you can tell.
Like she's going to just be who she is, and that's that's why I love her and Danielle. Like Danielle is actually how I got onto the show was because because I DM every freaking Bravo Lab to get their birth date info,
Amazing.
As a true psycho.
I was also gonna ask how you know all their birthdays.
Yeah. It's
and they just tell you?
A lot of them told me. I mean, some of them, yes, it's just because it was on the internet and I found it. But a lot of them now, as new people come in, I've been able to keep up with as new people come in, like Southern Hospitality, like almost everyone on that cast, they all gave me their information, which was really cool to have.
Have you started that one? Okay. It's good.
It's good. Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's like the they're going for the Southern Vanderpump Rules kind of situation. Yeah. And there's not there's only two seasons, so you don't have too much homework to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta create a list of,
and I got
maybe
you.
A list that can make the go to for those listening who've never touched their toe in Bravo. Where's the go to? Where's the start? Where's the first five? You gotta.
I would always tell people to go Vanderpump and Summer House. That's where I would go because that I think is where it's. I don't know. There's so much more relatable. Old housewives are great
it's
and
hard.
Classic, but there is so much lore there. Have to go through so many seasons that it gets overwhelming. And even Southern Charm, going back and doing Southern Charm is a good one too. I'm
so crazy to watch. That's a real stamp of America and a part of America that I've never visited. The politics and it's the history and the families. It's really weird and interesting to watch.
Yeah.
I got my husband even on that one because he was interested in the history of the city and the South. And there's one part where one of the women has children with this man. And then years later, she's dating a Black man with the same last name with another letter on it, and it's because her ex-man's family owned his family as that is Charleston, that is the South. It's crazy to watch stuff like that.
The Southern Charm it's insane.
I love it.
It's actually another good place to start is where they pick back up on Miami.
I've been curious about Miami.
I haven't seen that.
It's season 5.
Okay.
That they re-pick up at where they had a 10-year break from Miami. Mm-hmm. And from the new cast of from the new people that they put in, plus some of the old people who are on the previously, it's an amazing cast. It's a great show. I love what they did awesome. With Miami. It's a great one.
Is it still on?
Yeah, it's coming back soon, but there's only a few seasons of that where you don't need to start at the beginning of those ones. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd always say, tell people, like, you have to watch like seasons, like Roni, like up to season 10 is like, that's just like gold.
It's the best. I'm so obsessed with it. I love every single, every moment. I just hang on to it and I'll go back and watch clips of it and then just like laugh to myself in bed on my phone while my baby's asleep. I just love it.
That's the way we all watch it. Like when you become a new parent, you just sit and watch it on your phone because you're like, I don't know what else to do with my life. I don't know what else to do with my life, you know.
That is how you have
I consumed ran through all so much on maternity leave and pregnant because it was like I couldn't real. I was so uncomfortable pregnant, and then maternity leave, you're home for 3 months, and I was just like binging it. I think Below Deck is easy to get like a partner into too because it's not like
I'm a non-Bodhi.
I like it.
I've tried.
It's just too many new cast people. Like I, like when there's somebody who I've met that like I've kind of gotten friendly with, like I'll end up watching their season just because I know them. But then that's like Katie Flood. Like I've met her quite a few times and she's very, very nice. And so I love her.
Yeah.
But so like I've like watched some of her seasons, but like I'm not really like a big, you know, I'm not a big Bodhi.
She's the one that was on Winter House as well.
Yeah.
And like, Tom.
That's how I met her. It was because, like, through Danielle, like, I started getting, so I started DMing Danielle to, like, probably get her birth info. Then we kind of just, like, you know, I'm somebody who likes to reply on DMs. It's just, I mean,
yeah,
reply.
That's how I got here. Yeah.
Yeah. And so eventually, like, I ended up, like, doing a private reading for her. And then I did a private reading for her and some friends. And she invited Gabby over. Gabby then had me come and do a private reading for her, and then Gabby asked me to do the show for her party.
What is Gabby like?
Gabby's, I love her. She's so
sweet.
Good
enough
She's
screen
real.
Time. She seems so pure. Like the last conversation with her and Lindsay, like I feel like if you were friends with her, she'd be like a good person to lean on, someone that's really going to be honest with you.
She's very truthful. She is a Taurus sun, Leo rising, Scorpio moon. So she really
Scorpio moons.
Yes. That's why Lindsay and her get along so well. Yeah. Because they have that same like secretive bond, you know, that's what Scorpios need.
Okay. So what is your big three? Mm-hmm.
I am a Scorpio sun, Aries moon, Leo rising.
Wow. Okay. So very similar to Lindsay.
I wonder why I like certain people.
That makes sense. Okay. I am a Scorpio sun, Cancer moon, Pisces rise.
Oh my God, girl. How is that postpartum?
You know, once I stopped breastfeeding, I was just trying to not kill myself. And then I did okay for a while. But
postpartum was actually not
great.
The worst.
The breastfeeding saved me, honestly. Okay. But I cry like all. I had a job interview, or I started at a new job meeting on Sunday, and I cried in the meeting, and so did she, because she's a Cancer, Aquarius, Pisces. So lots of water, lots of feelings, lots of emotions going on.
Well, that's, I mean, it's good. At least you have somebody who understands the feeling.
Totally.
You
know,
yeah.
And then what about you?
I'm a Libra sun, Sagittarius moon, Virgo rising.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it.
So beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Some people are very drawn to
totally.
Amber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Molly's that friend and friends with everybody.
Yeah.
That's pretty really easy. Nice. Everyone, when you're like kind of bipolar like I am, or I'm extreme. I live in extremes. Like I'm one side or the other side.
Yeah. Your Scorpio, Aries, Libra, or Leo. That's some big
that is like,
energy.
Yeah.
All that fire
either,
with that water.
I'm either like sane or not sane. Like it's either like I'm full throttle going great or full throttle like nosedive. Like I just don't have a nice easy pattern in the middle, and like that is something I'm trying to work on. But like when I'm mad, I'm mad. When I'm happy, I'm happy. Like I just don't know how to like not be that extreme, you know, and it's tough, you know. And I also have my Mercury is in Sagittarius.
Okay.
My Mars is in Leo in the first house. Like, I'm just a very fiery person.
Yeah.
So waking up the witch, the concept is like, we're talking to people that are new witches and don't really know too much about like everything. So can you explain what it means for your Mercury to be in Sagittarius?
Yeah. So Mercury in Sag is Mercury has certain places that it likes to be. Mercury loves to be in Gemini, and it loves to be in Virgo, because those are it rules both of those signs. So when when it's in the opposite sign, it's in its detriment. So so when the opposite sign of Gemini is Sagittarius, so then when you have your Mercury in a place where it doesn't like to be, it doesn't really want to hang out there. I end up saying stuff like straight off the top of my mind without even thinking about it. Like, I have a really, really bad, like, non-filtered, like, opinion.
I wonder what mine's
in. And so it just, like, comes out, and I can't stop it at all, you know? And, like, you know, where when Mercury's in Gemini, it's thoughtful, it's provoking, it wants to answer good questions, it wants to have those, like, interpersonal communications, and it really wants to be talkative. But with me, it just is like, I just blurt out things.
Yeah.
and by blurt out things through my Mercury, it's also like through messages, through text messages, through DMs. I'll just say whatever the fuck I'm thinking, and I can't stop it. And so it's a lot.
I would think that it would also, like, even if it's in its detriment, there's also some like harmony pieces there too, because Sagittarius is very like knowledge seeking, and being able to communicate like what you've learned is probably really beautiful, and probably part of like the magic that you create online that drew us to you.
It's great because it's non-filtered, you know what I mean, but that's very creative. My Mercury in whole sign sits in the fifth house, which is the house of creativity. So there, I have a lot of innate creativity. Plus my moon sits in the ninth house, which is the house that is kind of like the Sagittarius house. Mm-hmm. So they really kind of work together well. And so that's why I like, you know, I'm very outgoing and I'm very personable. And, you know, with my Leo rising and my Leo and my Mars in the first house, here. I'm just like, hi.
Look at me. Yeah.
Okay. So I have a couple more questions. So do you have a son or a daughter?
Son.
Okay. And then what is his big three?
Okay. So
he's eight right now?
He's eight. He'll be nine in May. So he's a Taurus.
Taurus
sun, Virgo moon, Leo rising.
So. Oh, okay, great. Yeah. Also, like, Scorpio Taurus is the most calm. I think Tauruses are so calming to Scorpios, like, energy. At least that's how I feel around a Taurus. Yes. I just, like, I don't know if they always like me, but I love them.
I love Taurus.
Yeah. I think they're always kind of like, okay. And I'm like, but I just love you. Well,
my favorite way of looking at the Scorpio Taurus axis is that, you know, when you think of Taurus, you know, it is the spring, it's the flowers blooming. So you really think of the bloom of the rose, right? Mm-hmm. And then if you think about that line that's going straight down to Scorpio, it is the root system of the flower.
Yeah.
So, you know, you cannot have one. Yeah, you can't have one without the other. So it's just like that beauty, that
nourishing to each other.
Yeah, that they need each other that much. And so, you know, I'm very obviously, I love obviously that line because that's my life, you know. So it's just, you know, but I like that way of thinking about it.
That makes me like almost want to cry. It's so beautiful. My daughter is almost 17 months old, but she is also Scorpio sun, and then she's an Aquarius moon, which my husband's Aquarius, and then Taurus rising. So I just feel like it's so such a beautiful birth chart. Like,
yeah, those fixed magic signs. You're fixed sign mamas.
I love it.
Yeah, her big three is all fixed signs.
Yeah.
Is
it? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What does a fixed sign mean for everyone?
So fixed signs, there's three types of, what are they called?
Cardinal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Different energies. Yeah. So there's cardinal, which are the beginning of each season. So we have Aries, which is the ruler of spring. Cancer, the ruler of summer. Libra, the ruler of fall. And Capricorn, the leader of winter.
Winter, yeah.
So as those four signs are the cardinal signs, and they're kind of like the in charge natural leaders who kind of, you know, they really do want to tell everyone how to do things, and they kind of really take authority and do, you know, make sure everyone's falling in line the way they should. Then we get to the fixed signs. So those are the guys that are in the middle between the fixed, and then there's cardinal, there's fixed, and then there's mutable. So next round is Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. So fixed signs are stuck in between the cardinal and the mutable. So they literally are the most stubborn people you'll ever meet in your entire life. No.
Well, that checks out.
Yeah. So you can't get people who have a lot of fixed energy to change their mind or do something different or want to move in any way. They'll stand hard and fast in what they believe in. You know, I think Tauruses get the root of being the stubborn bull.
Definitely.
But all four of them are equal in their own ways. Mm-hmm. You know, a Scorpio doesn't want to give in, a Leo doesn't want to give in, and Aquarius doesn't want to give in.
This explains so much about my life. My sister is so fucking stubborn, and she's a Leo. My husband is Aquarius sun. I don't remember. Oh, Virgo moon, and then Scorpio rising, and he is so fucking stubborn.
Oh yeah,
so stubborn.
Yeah, Virgos—they're a whole other,
a different kind of stuff
genre, because they are in the next group, which are the mutable signs. So we have Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces. Mm-hmm. So the mutables are the ones that are like the go-betweens. Like if you really look at, what is it? Whenever I'm trying to say them, I like blank out.
It's okay.
Geminis, Sagittariuses, and Pisces. Virgos we'll talk about. They're a little different. But those three are really, their energy really does kind of move in, move out. They're willing to try something. They're willing to test something, but they don't really want to commit to anything. They kind of live in this like limbo land where they want to try everything. Like that's why like you always make jokes about people. Like, you know, I think a lot of times people who date Sagittariuses or Pisces, you know, the non-committal thing really comes up, and even Geminis too. Like they really don't want to commit to anything. And so it, you know, it makes, you know, I think when you're trying to date those signs, it gets difficult. But Virgos, however, are a mutable sign, but they are the taskmasters of the zodiac. So they really do want to make sure that everything gets done. They're kind of like their own, because they are earth sign, they're earth energy too. So they really just want to make sure that everyone does everything that they need to do. They make sure everything is taken care of. They take on more than what they can. They don't want to delegate at all. They're just like, I can do it all myself, and I will do it better than everyone else. And if I try to tell someone else how to do it, they're going to just mess it up.
It won't be done right.
Won't be done right. So I'll just do it by myself. I don't care if I end up with IBS and some other like massive stomach issues, because Virgos rules the stomach. So Virgos always have the worst gut. They always have the worst digestion. Uh-huh. And they take everything on, and it really just sits in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that sounds so like the Virgo I know the most. So, okay, if you like the three people closest to you, what are their signs? Like, who do you feel the most attracted to? Like your besties or your husband or whatever?
Well, I definitely like realized I had a type because of my best friend and my husband. My husband is a Scorpio sun, Pisces moon, Capricorn rising.
Oh, I love that.
He's a Cap rising through and through, but also like the emotions,
to balance out
the emotions of the Pisces moon are really also very present.
Well, he's got the deep ocean of the Scorpio.
He has, he really like, he's very empathetic, I guess is the word, yeah. towards mm-hmm. things and situations and people, and want to make Tender. Sure that people are okay. So he mm-hmm. has a lot of that empathy that comes with a Pisces moon.
Mm-hmm.
And then my best friend is a Scorpio sun, Pisces moon.
Wow.
Dad rising. So,
wow.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, I was like, I guess I have a type.
Most of the people in my life, have a Taylor. Yeah, hello, we're best friends now.
Yes.
Most of the people that I'm close to are either Libra or have a Scorpio moon.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, Scorpio rising. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love like everyone I meet and I'm like, oh, what is it? And they say like Scorpio rising. I'm like, okay, well, we're like kind of the same.
They're working on what yeah. you have come into this world in.
Yeah. I realized like going back and like, you know, when I started really looking at like all of my exes, like I was like, oh, I have a type. Like I either date Libras or Capricorns mm-hmm. over the like centuries, it's always been that. And then but I also
Capricorn Scorpio is the most fucking fun friendship ever.
Oh yeah, I love it in a friendship. In dating, however, like, or you know, together,
no, it's probably hard.
It's because both people are like, Capricorns are so like, I'm in charge, I want to do things my way. Scorpios are, I'm gonna do it how I want to do it, and you can't tell me how to do it. So yeah. like,
because only I know, it's way deep yeah. down and, here.
And you should know that I shouldn't have to tell you that. You should exactly. just know that about
exactly.
me. I know how to do everything. Wow. And you can't tell me how to do it, because if you tell me how to do it, I'm going to get more mad.
Yeah.
And
the opposite.
And I'm going to.
And then you have all the fire supporting your water. You're just boiling hot spring over here.
Can we pause for a pee break?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll be so fast. I'm so fast.
Well, I'm going to fill up my wine then.
Great. Step into the glow of the season with Moonlight and Magic, our very first quarterly solstice gathering, a celebration of community, intuition, and enchantment.
Join us at Mimosas on June 13th for an unforgettable evening. Explore a curated marketplace of local mystical vendors, receive guidance from gifted intuitive readers, and experience magical performances that honor the power and mystery of the solstice.
This event is proudly sponsored by Taylor Pickett Styles, Tidal Wave Healing, and Moonbees Wellness. Three magical forces dedicated to beauty, healing, and holistic well-being.
Whether you're a seasoned witch, curious seeker, enjoy local events, or simply drawn to the magic of the moment, this is your invitation to gather, connect, and celebrate the turning of the wheel. For more information on this event, please visit Waking Up the Witch at Instagram, or you can find our event on Facebook, Moonlight and Magic, a Midsummer Soiree.
See you there.
See you there.
Oh my God, I'm having so much fun.
So are we. I'm like, oh my God, it's already been 45 minutes. I just want to keep talking to you.
No, it's fine. I'm not in a rush. Everything's fine here.
Okay, great.
You guys can use or cut whatever you want.
No, it's so care. Fun. This is so great. And it just feels good for us to be recording again. It's, you know, yeah. We started this podcast right before Taylor got pregnant.
Mm.
And like 3 months before, 3 or 4 months before she got pregnant. And so it's just been like this whole journey of like, we fucking love this podcast and doing this and connecting mm-hmm. with people and just trying to find that balance. And we're both business owners. And yeah, and now she's got a baby.
What businesses do you guys own?
So I own a little witchy boutique here in Southern Oregon called Moonbees Wellness. And I'm a Reiki master. I do past life readings, past life regression, intuitive guidance, all sorts of fun stuff here. And so, yeah, my boutique is like, I'm a Libra, so I like things and it's so vibey and pretty. So I'm like, you know, the boutique is to like attract people in so that we can then connect and maybe work together. And Taylor is the most phenomenal curly hair specialist. And people drive all over to come see this one because she's just the fucking best. And
I love this. Yeah, it makes me want to come to Oregon.
You should come. Also,
we
think
have
that
guest rooms.
Come, I was on TikTok the other night because I had insomnia because I stopped breastfeeding. And I saw a guy eating a sandwich in New York. And I was like, I want that sandwich. And then I was like, how much is a flight? And then I was like, oh, my God, I could do that. So I think I'm going to come for my birthday in October. So if you want to hang,
yes, I do. I am. I'm a good hang.
I need some. I need a local person to be like, we need to go here. We need to go here. But I want
the way to do it.
Good food, drag shows, and comedy shows.
I'm good for all of these. Comedy is not like my forte.
Comedy seller, I feel like. Yeah, I just want to see what it's like.
There's definitely, there's, you know, the standard places that you definitely can go and just like see like who's got shows going.
I also love to see somebody bomb at comedy. I love a cringy moment. That's why I love Bravo. I feel like if I had a different job, I would want to do the like the background music sound noises when things get awkward on reality TV.
Oh, yeah.
I love that moment. And that would be such a fun job to have.
That's an amazing career pivot. I love
that. What is that even called? I want that job.
Sounds like a drug dealer.
Okay.
Well, I would love to kind of like bring it back a little bit and like let's talk about your love for astrology and what kind of like inspired you to blend the two. Like I mean, I know pandemic probably was a lot of that where you're like consuming. I'm also curious of like when you fell in love with astrology, like what did your birth chart, like have you gone back to be like, oh, that makes so much sense that I like came back to this at that time?
Yeah, it was very eye-opening to go do the re-look at once I learned my birth chart. I mean, for me, learning that, you know, I always knew I was a Scorpio, right? But learning when I was an Aries moon and a Leo rising, and then my world made sense because I have the worst temper, like known to man. Mm-hmm. Like I am through and through an Aries moon. And like, as a kid, like I would like the temper tantrums were real.
It's reactionary, like, probably.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. it's bad. And I've definitely worked on it, you know, it's not perfect, but mm-hmm. you know, I try really hard, especially now, you know, being a mom.
I love that you own it.
It's an intense combo. It really, hearing it, you're like, people say that to me though, and I'm just like, I'll cry, shut up.
Yeah, and I'll fly off the handle. Like, you may cry and I'll fly off the handle. Like, we all have our things, you know. Mm-hmm. We try to work on them to the best that we can. But going back then, like realizing, you know, like certain things, like, you know, looking at, obviously the big one that I looked at was like my Saturn return and what was going on in my life for my Saturn return. And I was
that? Oh, if you feel comfortable sharing.
Oh no, I'll share.
Tell us.
And also before you share, could you just kind of quick, like, what is a Saturn return for our listeners?
Okay. So Saturn is a placement in your birth chart where it is at the moment you're born, you know, where the actual planet Saturn is falling in your birth chart. It takes 29 years or 28 and a half years to go around the whole entire zodiac calendar or circle. Zodiac circle. Mm-hmm. Let's try
your,
that again.
Your piece of pie of
chart. And so as it, you know, takes a full orbit, you know, it takes that long to get back to where it was. So Saturn is like, we call Saturn the daddy of the zodiac. Saturn is all about rules and restrictions, the patriarchy, and, you know, making you learn things in the way that is can be tough. And they're not mm-hmm. going to really sugarcoat anything for you. And, mm-hmm. you know, Saturn is going to just make you deal with what you're supposed to be dealing with. So when you have your Saturn return, it really is a time and a place where, you know, that you have to deal with what's going on in your life. And it will make you make decisions. And it's not something that can be very uncomfortable for a lot of people because it's making you face things that you didn't necessarily want to face. We also, mm-hmm. astrologers, we also say that, you know, you don't really become like a full adult until you go through your Saturn return.
Yeah. Interesting. That makes so much sense to me.
So, yeah. So, you know, that is when you're really coming into your full adulthood where you don't need your parents anymore. Like you are fully an adult then. And so usually people, Capricorns, I think maybe sometimes are the exception to the Saturn turn.
Interesting. Rule
since they are Saturn ruled, they've been dealing with the Saturnian nature their entire lives, so they're kind of used to the energy. But everyone else, I think, you know, you can have a very tough moment, and then finding out what house it sits in.
How long does it last?
It can last, you know, it can be short for only like a few months, or it can take over a year.
Okay.
Because it depends on where Saturn falls and where it retrogrades, because you always, when the outer planets retrograde, they go back a certain amount of degrees and they come forward. So depending on where, like, the degrees are, where it falls, like, it can go back and forth across your Saturn multiple times and be within that orb range. So for some people, it can take a really long time. For some people, it can be short. Depending on what house it's in, you know, if you have a Saturn in the first house, you know, that's going to be, you know, really reflective of you. Saturn the second is going to be reflective of love and values, which is where mine is. So obviously I had to go through a massive breakup.
Yeah.
With
my husband and I, our Saturn is at the same exact degree in both of our charts, because his was retrograde. We're 6 months apart. His was retrograde when he was born. So it's literally at the same exact degree. And we met during our Saturn return.
Oh my God. I love that.
I think mine might be in the second house. I'd have to double check.
Oh my God. I love that. That's like a really nice way of doing it.
Like, I know I really, and that was like honestly a hurdle for me to like, getting married and doing that was like no thank you until I met him. So it is kind of like part of my Saturn return was like accepting love and like receiving love. So, you know, I had my own, but it's definitely not as nightmarish as for a lot of people.
But I
could
love
be.
That for you and your Libra and that being in your second house. That's just beautiful. Yeah.
And my
I love
Venus
it.
Is in first house Libra also.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so beautiful. Yeah. You own a boutique.
I'm like,
There's a reason why you have and a glamorous little boutique.
Taurus North Node also. Oh. It's like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, that is very, very that's so Venusian.
Yeah.
What else is your North Node in? Do you know?
Taylor?
Mine is Capricorn. I like really want to make money, I think is what that means.
She's like so living in her North
Node. I'm very business oriented and money motivated, and I tell everyone else how to run their business. And talking about like all of my signs. So I parted ways with the salon that I was working at on Friday, and she told me that my emotions were too big and could I like pull them in? And I said, no, but I could pack my things. And so
I'll pack my knives and go.
Yeah. Like, you're telling somebody with all water. I don't have one fire sign in my entire chart. Not one. You're telling this watery little bitch to have smaller emotions. Like, I'm not capable of that. And I don't want to be in a space that wants me to do that.
No, okay,
you shouldn't have to change how you feel to make someone else comfortable.
Totally.
No.
And that is I have a huge problem with that. Like, people are who they are. And that is why learning astrology is so amazing, because you have the words to put. You're like, I'm all water. I have a lot of emotion. You know, it gives you that vocabulary to be able to say that and for people to be
understand yourself.
And,
totally.
Yeah.
Like, instead of being like, why am I like this?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Like, well, and then I had a meeting with a new lady. I started a new salon already. That happened Friday, Sunday. I got a job, but I just told her, I was like,
this is very eclipse season happening here.
Yeah. Too. I'm like, you were living the March astrology so hard.
Right? I also, she was like, I wanted to message you to work here, but you seemed happy where you were. And I was like, oh, well, perfect. I'm here. Side note. Oh God, but I told her, I was like, I've worked really fucking hard to be able to be who I am. Mm-hmm. And happy with it. And so, like, I need to be in a space that allows me that. But I also told her, I was like, and I'm about to make a lot of money. And if you and everyone else here wants to do that, let me know and we can do it together. And she's like, I think everyone here would like to make money.
Yeah, we love that. We love that for a Capricorn North Node. Yeah,
I know. She's living it already. And she hasn't even been through a nodal return in her 30s yet.
Almost.
Oh, you still... Yeah.
She's still got that coming up.
Oh, I love the nodal return.
I know. I'm like, your life's just going to get so much better.
Yeah. The nodal return's great. Because you have the Jupiter return, then the nodal return. And then you have a few years that are clear, and then you start your midlife transits. So.
Oh, great. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm trying to pull up my sanctuary so I can see what my other things are.
So back to your Saturn return, yes. Melissa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry. We're just girling out over here.
No, we're just having too much fun. It's great.
I love being able to talk in these kind of situations because we all speak this language, and it's a language of its own.
Totally. It is. So
my Saturn return, I had been in a very mentally abusive relationship for almost 5 years at that point. And
with the Scorpio.
No, this was with a Capricorn.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The Capricorn.
Yeah. So with the Capricorn, and I was just like, yeah, this can't go on anymore. And I pretty much packed my stuff up. Been ran out type of situation because I was just like, and coming out of that was very difficult. You know, it was mentally really hard for me. It took a while. So it was a lot, and I didn't have the language then, and I didn't have the tools that I could have used, you know, with the mental health, the way we just, you know, this was 2008, 2009.
Okay. I was going to ask.
So it was long before we've had this revolution within, you know, mind, body, wellness, spirit.
Yeah.
There's an awakening happening. There really is.
It's huge. It's huge. And it's a huge shift that's been going on, but it's, you know, it's definitely something that, you know, I'm so grateful that so many people now who are going through these tougher transits have the ability to understand. And it's very much a part of the inner working of our culture now, and
100% understand it. It's so helpful.
Yeah, I wish I would have known that.
Yeah,
but it was a very eye-opening thing to go back and be like, oh, of course, that is when my life was insane.
Totally.
And now you have the tools to pass that on to your child too. Like, here's a self-reflection tool. You can use it if you want. Like, this is how I got through hard stuff. I think I want to be that parent for my daughter too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, we definitely, he knows his big three. He he's not really fully into it because he's
a little boy.
But he, you know, we talk about it. But my favorite thing to tell moms, especially moms of children who are, you know, still under three or two, knowing your child's moon sign and parenting through the moon sign is the most helpful hack that I have for people, because when kids are little, they're just all emotion. That's the only way that they can communicate is through emotion. Mm-hmm. And so if you know what comforts through the moon sign, what was your daughter again?
Yeah. What would you tell a person with an Aquarius moon
child? So Aquariuses they are very independent. They are very much about seeking things forward. They are definitely somebody who, if you gave them something an interactive puzzle or, you know, something that they had to solve, you know, that's something that could really help entertain, you know, definitely getting into those gadget kind of things probably would be really a big thing with an Aquarius moon. Aquarius moons also need space. They need time to they need hermit time. They really are those people who they can only be within a large group for so many people for so long until they need to retreat. I always say one of my favorite things I meme is just how Aquarius moons are Aquariuses in general, but Aquarius moons are even more so. They love an Irish exit. You know what I mean? They're just I'm out.
Yep.
We're not doing this anymore, and I'm out of here, and I'm not telling anyone about it.
I mean, that makes sense. My husband is Aquarius Sun, and he's a car guy. He loves to nerd out on tiny little trinket details. Mm-hmm. It's very detail oriented. I mean, with the Virgo moon, you know, detail oriented, but building puzzles, things, got to put things together to make sense of them.
Yeah. Aquarius is the other amazing thing about Aquarius is that they are about society at large. And so they really do, even though they need time and space alone, they really do care about society and the, mass groups and making sure everyone gets their fair shot. And they really are advocates for that, which I think is an amazing part of Aquarius. You know, they're their own special little unique world. And I love them.
They're quirky and a little weird. And like, I feel like I love their creativity for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's the like most likely sign to deny that astrology is real?
I mean, any Capricorns, obviously. Very, very basic Capricorn men.
100%.
That would be like, but you can probably throw any of the cardinal signs in there.
Okay.
You know,
interesting.
I would, especially like very, you know, cisgendered white men. I'd be like, but you know, it always makes me want to go back to like JP Morgan. You know, JP Morgan famously said, you know, billionaires hire astrologers. You know what I mean? Like millionaires don't, billionaires do. And like, you know, there's a reason why this works, and that's a reason why.
What is Sonia's big three?
What was that?
What is Sonia Morgan's big three? Do you remember?
Sonia, yes, I know.
I cannot believe you just have this all on the top
Sonia
of your.
Sonia is a Sagittarius sun, a Pisces moon, and a Gemini rising.
Okay, well that makes sense. She's kind of crazy, but like lovely and like deep and
But like, that's like, but her Pisces moon is like where you get all her spiritual woo-woo stuff comes through.
Yeah.
Like she is a lightning, like bolt, firecracker kind of person with that Gemini and Sag. But then she does have that deep spiritual practice that is very important to her. I'm a huge Sonia Morgan fan.
Same. Okay, I'm going to keep going. Can I like say one and then you tell me back? Okay, what is Whitney Rose's big three?
Whitney is a Libra sun.
Okay, that makes sense.
Libra sun, Leo. What? Hold on.
Libra sun, she's Leo, totally got Leo.
Leo rising, I believe. And what's her moon? Hold on. I do have it all in my phone also.
Amazing. Okay, but I still love that you pretty much know all of it.
She's a Gemini moon. I knew that one.
Oh, okay.
Libra sun, Gemini moon, Leo rising. Yes.
She goes back and forth with people that like definitely makes sense.
Okay. It's funny is that like Salt Lake City is the first Libra-centric cast that has ever been.
There's more Libras?
Yes. On Salt Lake City, Mary Cosby is a Libra. Libra
sun, all the things.
Libra sun, Aries, moon. She gave me... hold on. What's her rising? She this gave me... so I met her, so she gave
what
it
was
to
that
me.
Like?
Oh my gosh.
She was very nice. I am blocked by her. Because he's an Aquarius rising, obviously, at the passion.
Oh, yes. That's hilarious.
Even one of Salt Lake City, like, I was still new in my meme making, and I made, like, some stupid, like, grandfather joke and it got me blocked. Because now I don't do that anymore. Like, everything I do is pretty central around either around astrology or feelings in some form of that. But,
Okay,
go ahead.
I was going to keep asking people.
You can keep asking, but I do want to like get to the core of like what you do on Instagram and why we love, like have fallen in love with you before meeting you. But this is also a fun game, so we can do that too.
All right, I want to know Countess Luann.
Lou is a Taurus sun, Sagittarius moon, Cancer rising.
Okay.
The
and then Ramona is obviously a Scorpio, right?
Ramona, I don't know her rising. She's a Scorpio sun, Taurus moon. She was born on an eclipse. She's a full moon.
Yeah.
That's everything about Ramona. She's
and Bethany is also Scorpio, correct?
Scorpio sun, totally Capricorn Scorpio. Moon. Yep. I don't know her rising.
That, that makes sense. So much sense. All right, what about Jax Taylor?
Jax is Cancer sun, Aquarius moon. I don't think I have his rising.
Interesting.
Where's that Cancer? Brittany, come on.
Brittany, I mean, he has Aquarius big emotions. Sun. He definitely does. Well, they're put in the wrong places.
I guess it's the shadow of it.
It's the Cancer. I always say with Cancer men, if Cancer men were not nurtured as children, they need to be able to express their feelings any of the big cancer placements. They need to be able to express their feelings and be in control and charge of them and been able to own it. And if they weren't given that opportunity, they really are like
toxic.
Coming from, yes.
Same toxic. With Pisces men. I think if they like that's can't feel those Pisces. Feelings, then they come out and your feelings have to come out somewhere.
Yeah.
And if you can't feel them, there's going to be anger or toxicity or whatever.
Yeah. Or drowning your emotions and
Pisces is drugs. Escapism.
Yeah. So I would not be surprised if he had big Pisces placements.
Yeah.
Tom Sandoval.
Tom He's a Libra. Tom Sandoval or Schwartz?
Schwartz is Libra. Sandoval Schwartz is definitely not.
Sandoval is a Cancer Sun, Virgo Moon. What's his rising? I have it. I should know that one off the top of my head. I haven't looked at it in a while, I
guess. Where's his Venus? Because he's just so into his looks. Leo.
He's a Cancer Sun, Capricorn Moon, Virgo Rising. His Venus sits in Gemini.
I love that she knows.
Well, he's like shaving his forehead and putting on eyeliner.
His Venus is pretty close to his, it's not, it's out of orb to be conjunct his midheaven, but it's right up there in his 10th house. Aesthetics are important to him, you know.
And 10th house is career?
It's career, but I like to really look at the 10th house as your legacy of this lifetime.
Okay.
I'm really trying to move away from the idea that the 10th house is about career because it's very capitalistic.
I love and that. Thank we you don't for
need
that.
To, we do not need to put ourselves
your legacy isn't your career.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We are more than our money making. We are the things that we want to stand for and we want people to remember us by.
Gorgeous. Not
for what we make money doing.
And I love that permission majority slip. Of people, that's huge.
For so many people, making money is how you have to get through life and living in a capitalist society.
But it's not,
it doesn't define you. And I think as the older you get, and this is something that I definitely have come through, is knowing that we are so much more than our career and we are so much, there's so much more worth that we have to give.
Totally.
And that's definitely something in my 40s that I've been really like leading into so much. It's just like, there's so much more worth out there than what you make money doing.
Beautiful creative side to you too. And like in capitalism, creativity isn't necessarily how we're, you know, living our lives and paying for our roof over our head. And stuff.
Well, it's hard too. It's like everything's so expensive. It's hard to survive. And then we're forced to turn our hobbies into like a lucrative thing because every single thing you do has to make money so that you can live. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to separate.
Yeah, it's kind of a wild fucking world we live in.
The part
right now.
Where we have to have multiple jobs, we are not allowed to even just have one job anymore. Like,
I thought that was something of our 20s. I thought that was like you're going to college, you're trying just to like get through, like, and here we are. I'm turning 40 this year, and like I barely making this work, but I have to. Like, it just feels so a part of my soul.
Yeah, how's New York and trying to like survive right now?
I mean, I'm very fortunate. My husband's parents own the brownstone that I live in.
Okay.
So
I love that for you. That's amazing.
I have, you know, my husband's parents who are close by to help with our child. And
that's so incredible.
I have just a very fortunate situation in that way.
Amazing.
But yeah, it's still, even through all of that, it's still tough. I'm still like, you know, I'm hustling the astrology, doing the full-time career. I still have a full-time job in fashion. Like, I do that 9 to 5 more every week.
Yeah.
And,
well, thank you for sharing your time with us too. Because
this is so fun. This is what makes me happy.
Same. I have a question. How did you meet your husband?
I met him at a bar right near where we live.
Old fashioned way.
Union Hall, yes. Love. And we were singing karaoke.
Yeah, I asked him this, we're karaoke girls.
We have to hang out.
What song?
Oh my God, it is the most embarrassing song.
We love it.
So This is when I was still working at Macy's, and earlier that day I was in my friend's office and we were just like bullshitting, and I was like, next time I go to karaoke, like a song was playing, I was like, I'm gonna sing it. And it was Blue by Eiffel 65.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So then I had to go, then that night I was like, well, I'm singing karaoke. I said I was gonna sing this song, so I put it in, and then I ended up talking to my future husband at the moment, like I met him, and I had the song come up, and he was like, he's just gotten me a drink. I was like, you want to sing a song with me? And he was like, yeah. I was like,
Oh my God.
Yeah. I love a love story.
Yeah, that's a really great one.
Yeah. So, okay. Eiffel 65 now owns a place in our lives.
Oh, I love
like in your vows.
No, but we did have karaoke at our wedding. Amazing. Versus like dancing.
Hell yeah.
That's a dream.
Okay.
So take us back to the beginning of your Instagram and how we have found you and fell in love with what you're creating, putting out in the world, blending two of our favorite things. What led you to decide, like, I need to take astrology and Bravo and put them together?
Because they're both literally my favorite things. I'm a pop culture girly.
Yeah.
I'm an astrology girly. They all come together. And it really started because of, I needed to look up everyone's signs as I was watching TV.
Oh, I'm brilliant.
Gorgeous.
And like, once you get into astrology, you're like, oh, I need to know their sign. And then it's like, but then I need another big three. Yeah. And then it just like spirals off of that. And if you're psychotic like I am, you know, get very, very intense like I am.
Scorpio.
It turns into me starting this page. And then I was like, well, I like to make jokes too, because that's fun.
Yeah.
And so then really, it was a really good learning tool for me, actually, to really start to be able to put all the different like voices to each of the signs of how each sign shows up. And making memes about it was really, honestly, like,
Your memes are the best.
One of the best ways for me to learn about all the different spirits that are behind all 12 signs, you know, and they all have their own spirit that like lives within
and
them.
Placing characters with them.
Yeah, it is. It's a play, and we all have our parts. And
I love it.
All 12 signs have their parts to play. And their stereotypes are the funny thing to make fun
of.
Stereotypes exist for a reason.
I love the stereotypes. Like, I know they don't always resonate, and that's like part of, like, we have a whole chart, so of course, like, we don't fully identify with our sun sign, but it really is like, I love that part of astrology. Not everyone does, but I totally do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what did you think of the White Lotus?
Yes.
OMG.
We're about to talk about White Lotus.
Oh my God.
She was like, I need to go take care of the little first.
Staring at me, giving me death looks, because I promised him, I was like, it's going to be an hour and then I'll make you an ice cream sundae. And he's like,
he's watching the clock.
And he's a Taurus. You don't mess with a Taurus in their food.
That luxury.
Tell my husband that too. With the baby. I'm like, he's like, why she wake up out of her sleep and say, cracker, food? And then she'll follow you around the house and go, knack? And I'm like, she's a Taurus rising. She's very food motivated. Don't mess with her.
I don't know.
Also, who knew a 17-month-old could be so expensive to feed? Like, she's so hungry.
My 8-year-old is the size of a teenager. And he eats like one. So I'm that's really expensive. Worried.
They
really
eat like worried. For three.
I'm really worried about what teenage life is going to be like, because he already eats as like a full adult.
Wow.
And
you don't have to go on a diet and so you can feed him.
Well, luckily, I mean, I'm on Wegovy, so I've stopped eating.
Balance.
You know, I stopped eating. He eats it all.
Yes.
Perfect. Balance.
Sure.
Okay, two things. White Lotus finale, and then Mike White's interpretation of Southern Charm into White Lotus.
Oh, that's pretty amazing. I haven't even watched Southern Charm, and I already know and love.
But like,
it's crazy.
The fact that all roads lead back to Bravo really is.
Everybody's on it right now. Thing. Seth Rogen.
Bravoverse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was just epic that is who he was channeling with those characters.
It was real.
Thomas Ravenel is
disgusting.
He's a true True.
Southern man. Yeah.
Southern in the ways that we, you know, are afraid of. Oh, that
this wine looks, smells weird.
Like, that looked terrible.
It tastes good, but it smells weird.
There's like kind of like a mushroomy smell to it for like a rosé. It's kind of strange.
That is weird. Okay. Is it an unfiltered rosé?
It's grown in Oregon, so I guess that's not too weird. Up north. Willamette. Yeah, pretty. It's up in like the rainy area of Oregon. Mm-hmm. So okay. Mushroom is, it fits.
Okay. anyway. Curtis, cut. If you say, if you hear that, that's me telling my husband to cut that part of the podcast.
You can leave it. I that's love that fine.
Curtis is your boss.
He's
a stay-at-home dad, and he is my podcast.
He's an Aquarius, so yeah. It makes a lot of sense that he is
have hired so many people to edit this podcast, professionals, people that were in school to do it, and he does it the best because he doesn't play by the rules, and he's just really playful with it, and he makes, like, he does so good.
Yeah. It's only gotten better since we're like, you need to do this, Kurt. Yeah. Take
this
it.
This is your job.
Yeah.
Love it.
We don't have time for it. No. That's how we started. It's a full-time job.
I love it.
Okay. Sorry. We'll get it back on track.
Okay. Wine.
Yeah, the wine has us going in all different
The wine
directions.
And the conversation and the fun, we're just like buzzing.
Okay. White Lotus.
White Lotus. Yes. Yeah. I mean, obviously, we were all drawn to Chelsea because she was, you know, she is us. We are her.
Totally. And she really loves astrology.
Oh, I have a question. If you were going to give her a big three, what do you think it would be?
Chelsea?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know she's an Aries sun.
Okay.
Because obviously she said it in the show. Chelsea, I would also, like, she's so empathetic. Like, I would put her, like, almost at a Pisces moon kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then her style and her aesthetic kind of almost feels very Gemini to me.
Okay. Oh, love that. So cool. Did you expect anything that happened?
Well, I was going between, like, so with... I was like, there's no way that Rick is going to make it out of this after he pushed the dude over and he has those, like,
I know, I was
men.
So surprised.
And I was like,
I was like, what?
I was like, and then he went back there and I was like, they're going back there. I was like, this just isn't going to work out well. and then, so I saw that. And then I also saw the part where I did see, I was like, oh, that's his dad. Like, you just kind
of knew
felt
it.
The energy.
I didn't. That I was a total surprise to me. My husband and I watched it last night and I was like, we both were like, so stuck on it. Like, we did not see it coming for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I see how people saw it coming, but, like, we totally fucking did it. It was
there's
a
part where she says, like, what, like, we're connected. Stop. Whatever happens to you happens to me. And, like, or if something bad happens to you, it'll happen to me. And then they both die there. And I'm like, Mike White is such a poet. Okay. Reality TV. Did you watch his season of Survivor?
No, I'm not a Survivor girl.
I watched it and I've only seen a couple seasons of Survivor. And that was just one on, I don't know, Netflix at the time. And I'm just like, he was so good. He's so funny.
There was some content creator I saw recently that was talking a lot about that and how a lot of, like, the extras or smaller player roles were people from his season, which I thought was pretty cool.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. He's like, it's just so fucking thought out, like, every little bit of it. And it's fucking brilliant.
Do we know his big three?
I don't. I actually haven't looked it up.
Hmm.
That would be an interesting one to check.
I know. I do really love, like, seeing, like, the blend, bringing in the White Lotus energy into your content on top of the Bravo. That's been really fun.
Well, I'm just, like, such a junkie for White Lotus.
It's so good.
I mean, it really hits the Scorpio side of my chart.
Uh-huh.
Because I love.
Do you have a favorite season?
I mean, I liked this season, but I really liked season two.
Season two is
okay.
The best.
I have his big three.
That was great. Scorpio vibes over here.
Cancer Sun, Taurus Moon, Libra Rising.
Oh, he's very Venusian.
Uh huh.
That's beautiful.
I mean, the cinematography and everything brought in that
balance.
Vision.
Like, so everything's a yin and yang in that show. Mm-hmm. Everything has an outcome.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Oh,
Love it.
So good.
We are sorry for the abrupt ending, but we ended up recording for almost 2 hours, so we thought this would be a great time to break and bring you back next week for a little bit more magic. This episode has been produced by my husband, Curtis Burgess.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at
Waking Up the Witch. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please email us at wakingupthewitch@gmail.com.
And don't forget to head over to the link in our bio on Instagram for all the ways to connect with both Amber and Taylor. And go to moonbeeswellness.com for all your self-care and witchy needs. We love you. Bye.
Bye. Ow. Ow.